for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 31st, 1979. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. David Bunch, Sr., Van Nuys, California, is a speaker on this tape. This is tape 2 of 3 tapes of New Year's Eve. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement. We'll turn the service over to Brother Bunch, Sr., for till the Lord finishes with whatever ministry he's going to have at this time. Ministry that was superb this afternoon, that teaching on the higher echelons of satanic power. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Well, we're ready to start a new one, aren't we? Amen. Well, this is 80. And 8 is the number of new beginning. It's the number of resurrection. Glory be to God. David was the 8th son. He's the type of the last day ministry, or he is that picture of victory. Glory be to God. Set upon the throne, but not only did he set upon the throne, but he intruded in the priestly realm, and God didn't smite him. Others that intruded in the priestly realm, they reaped a great judgment. But he was a type of that king and priest that God has ordained should rule and reign with him one of these days. You know, we've sort of emphasized a little bit different in the last few services, and I want to bring our attention to something that is very important in our growth, in our maturity, in our walk with God. In Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 14th verse, I want to take just one little portion of Scripture here and use it, if we may. Oh, it goes clear on, clear through the 30th verse, from 14 to 30, the overall picture. But the 14th verse says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." He delivered unto them his goods. That's Matthew 25 and 14. May God add his blessing to the precious reading of his word. Beloved, so many say that they can't do this or they can't do that, but God's word says that we can. And there's a reason that God says we can and expects us to do that. But like so many things, it's important that we do it God's way. There is a formula. There is nothing lacking in God's provision for you. There is nothing lacking in the counsel, in the direction, and in anything else that God asks you to do. He has made the provision whereby you can be victorious. We say, how can God expect this from you or from me when we do not have the know-how? Well, there is a channeling through Christ, all that we need. There is nothing lacking. He said upon Calvary, it is finished. The full ultimate goal of what God had planned to accomplish for man was fulfilled right there, all the way. There is a channeling through Christ, all that we need. Notice that the servants were given or left with his goods. And I want to talk about his goods for a little bit tonight. That he is left behind for his servants. Amen. The things of the flesh are not his goods. The flesh cannot please God, the Bible says. Romans 8:8. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7 and 18. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Word of God says. Take the very best that you got. Take all of your charming personality. Give it the very best shot, and when God weighs it in the balance, it's still filthy rags. All of our righteousness, speaking of the fleshly man, is filthy rags. But He has left us something, beloved, that gives us audience with Him. He has left us something that gives us all that we need. Your talents are not His goods. Though He may use your talents when yielded unto Him, He has taken the simple things and the despised things and the things that are not to bring to naught things that are. You see, God can't use the flesh because it's a war with Him. The flesh warreth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And where so many Christians get in trouble is they try to whitewash it. I believe with all my heart that the outward is going to reflect the inward. But the outward is no evidence of anything inward. God's answer is not to whitewash you, but to crucify you, to kill you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not me, but it's Christ living in me, through me. You see, to the degree that I die out to self, to this degree, He lives through me. If I am on the throne, He is not. But if He is on the throne, He will be there on the throne because I have taken my place at Calvary and I am crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, it's Christ living through me. Amen? And so, he paints a very bleak picture of this old fleshly man. Because the flesh cannot please God. And therefore, if we are going to be what God wants us to be, and He has provided, well, what is His goods? Because you are wealthy is no sign that God had anything to do with it. Or it could be that it is because God's blessing upon your life. If it is God that has blessed you with wealth, it is because you sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things were added unto you. Amen. But if you are wealthy and it is not God, it's merely because even if you weren't saved, you would have been a talented man. You know how to do this and you know how to do that and so forth and so on. It is no evidence, although so many times in churches I've seen the man with the wealth or so forth voted in as this and voted in as that in high esteem when that isn't the way God looks at all. And may be no evidence at all of his spirituality. Rather, it might be evidence of his fleshly talent, but not necessarily his spirituality. Now, this is not to say that wealth is the wrong thing. I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But it is in proportion to the way that you have grown spiritually. You see, there's an equation there, isn't there? You know what an equation is? 6 times 8 equals, and whatever's going to be on the other side of the equal sign is the same thing as 6 times 8. 48. You see? It balances. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, equation sign, if you're working God's equation, and all these things will be added unto you. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and so forth, equation sign. Then I will hear. Equation sign. You see? All of the formula is there. But you can be blessed without because of your own talents. You know, there are a lot more millionaires that aren't saved than there are that are saved. And so this is no evidence. So let us not judge in this area, but let's learn to do it God's way. What is His goods? He said that the kingdom of God is like unto a man that went into a far country, and he called all of his servants together, and he left into their care his goods. They are the things that he has left for you to use. They are the talents that he has placed within your hands that belong to him, but at that are at your disposal, things that belong to him that are left for you to use, things he expects you to use. For in our story, we find that he calls his servants later together and he says, "What have you done with my goods?" He says, "My peace I give unto you." There is a peace that God has left us that we are supposed to appropriate. It doesn't come in a bottle. It isn't Valium. It is a peace that is his goods, that is at your disposal, that is readily available to you, that you can appropriate in your life. Salvation brings peace and should keep on doing so. That's his good. There isn't a peace in this world, but there is a peace. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so let all things be done in that power. To do a spiritual work takes a spiritual power. And he has left at our disposal. He has left his goods, which his provision for us is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a power and an anointing of the living God to accomplish and to do the things he expects you to do. He has been made unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the third to the 31st verse. He has been made unto us wisdom. How many times do we try everything else? We counsel with everybody in the world. We go to the lawyer. We go everywhere else. And we fail to go to the very first source that is, and the most perfect source there is. He has been made unto us wisdom. You say, "Well, I don't know how God says he has been made unto." There is a wisdom that is God's goods that he has left to you for you to use. He is my justification. I can appropriate what he is. I hear people say, "Oh, I'm so unworthy." And I hear Satan saying, "Amen." But it isn't my worthiness or my talent or my ability that gives me audience with God. I am justified because of him. It is his good that I appropriate. And so, bless God, I come in boldly. I act like I belong. Can't you just see David coming over to my house and knocking on the door? He said, "Is it all right if I come in?" I said, "What's wrong with you? Get on in this house." And so he comes in all proper and sits down and folds his hands. And pretty soon he says, "Well, I guess I'd better go." Can't you just see that? Why, he still barges through that door and walks right to the fridge and gets anything out he wants. He got a chicken leg in one hand and talking to me with the other one. He thinks he belongs. You see, beloved, I come boldly into the presence of God because God says, "Enter in boldly." It is part of his good. It is a part of the provision that he has made for me. That in him, I can live and move and have I being. He abideth within, as David said. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. So it isn't a time just because I'm feeling bad that I don't have audience with him. I have audience with him all the time. And the Lord, because he abideth within. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. That's part of his goods. That's part of his provision that I can use in order to do the things God wants me to do. You see? He has been and made unto me righteousness. Did you hear that? How many of you have ever seen a living saint? Same bunch. Amen. Bless God. Absolutely. Because in him, he is my righteousness. He has been made into me wisdom and justification. He is my righteousness.
As God the Father looks down through that precious blood, in Him, I may be... I'm not the perfection that I will ultimately be in Christ Jesus, but as God looks through the blood, He sees that finished work. He sees His goods. He sees His provision. And here he is, Saint Buck. Bless God, a lot of them have to die and be dead for years before they become a saint. And then somebody can come along later and say he is no longer a saint. I don't know how he fell from grace up there and down here, but anyway, none the way. Are you still with me? But Jesus Christ has been made unto me righteousness. And as long as I abide in Him, you see, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, or tabernacle their self in your heart, you shall ask what you will. Because the Father looks down and He sees me as righteous. Because I've put on His goods. It's a robe of righteousness. Positionally. I realize I'm pressing on. There's a time when in reality I will be. But right now, beloved, His goods, His provision, His finished work, by faith declares me righteous. I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. Did you know that's actually a chorus? Yeah. Some of you old timers, you remember it. I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. Where there's no doubt or fear, I'll always remain where there's plenty of rain, under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen! And so His goods gives me that audience that I can come in as David does in the house boldly and open up the fridge. Amen! Well, now, sometimes I tell David, I say, David, there's a piece of pie back there in the corner. See? Sometimes we come out and Lee Ellingwood says, "Now I'm gonna tell you that there's a piece of pie back in here. You're coming in boldly, but I'm gonna tell you there's a piece of pie back there." I said, "What'd you do? Hide it? Well, it's been hid, but it's being revealed in this last day." His good. His good. I'm a child of God. It would grieve me to death if he acted like he didn't know belong in my household. I must admit, I have put up with a little bit, but I... Amen. Amen. And I wonder if God doesn't think he has put up with a little bit with us. Huh? But, oh, we act like we belong or we need to. Quit saying, "Oh, I'm so unworthy." We're not talking about you. We're talking about your position in Christ Jesus and putting on what He has provided for you. And in Him, beloved, you are to live and move and have your being, and all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him they are amen. Glory be to God. And so in Him I can ask what I will. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't that what the Word says? And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Huh? And I am the Lord that confirmeth the words of my servant and performeth the counsel of my messenger. These are the promises of the Word of God. And so we need to learn to use His goods. God hasn't asked you to do anything that He hasn't made a provision for you to be able to accomplish it. Well, He is my redemption. You know, it's strange. There are those that have only 144,000 in that redemption. And they reached that long, long time ago. But He is my redemption. And if He is my redemption, then the limits of my redemption are the limits of Him. He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as long as I abide in Him and use His goods, then my redemption is not 144,000 or just through the millennium as others teach. But, beloved, it's from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is forever in Him. I'm not talking about eternal security. Don't misunderstand. But I am talking about that position, abiding in Him and using His goods. And so as long as I abide in Him, I am justified, I am righteous, and I am redeemed. You see, it's when we don't abide in Him and we go by it, and we refuse to obey the Lord. You see, let's let this center beam be the blood and the sinner pouring down, and God looking through that. In as long as I abide in the fold, in Him, into the cloud, God looks down and seems perfect. But as I rebel, as I allow pride get in, as I allow things to separate me, the love of the world, when I begin to do it my way, pretty soon God looks down and He no longer sees me in that abiding place. The old ewe sheep will take and will take and get the local weed, and it'll take a group of the sheep off, or go off like this, and the shepherd will send the dogs out and bring them all back. And then they go off this way, and the shepherd will send the dogs out and bring them on back. But there comes a time when that shepherd just cuts out all of the little lambs away from that old ewe, and it isn't long before the wolf has caught it. You'll find its carcass. Now, how like those that don't want to yield themselves under shepherdhood. You see, it's the extremes. We don't want to go into that, but it's the extremes. But there is a place of abiding in Christ, abiding in the flock. I believe, beloved, that there's an appointed place for you to be, appointed flock for you to be a part of, where God has meant for you to be taught. Yes. But we live in such a situation that there's a church down the street, and if we don't like it, bless God, we'll go there. And pretty soon we got, forgive me, Lord. Church tramp. You still love me? Whatever you do, don't frown right now, or we'll all know. Amen, preacher, amen. But you see what I'm saying? There's a place. There's a plan that God has for your life. And He has given in Christ Jesus all the provisions that you can be what God wants you to be. And you can do what God calls you to do. It is called His goods. And He expects you to use His goods. Amen. Are you there?
Amen.
Okay, just checking here. Faith is part of His goods. Listen to what it says in Galatians 2 and 20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Doesn't say faith in the Son. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There is a faith that is His good that I can appropriate. As I can appropriate His salvation, His righteousness, His justification, His redemption, His peace, I can appropriate His faith. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There is a faith that can flow through you that is His faith, that is His goods. Don't say, well, I don't have faith. God wants you to appropriate His goods. How about the use of His name? He has given you the power of attorney. You know what that is, don't you? When you sign that little old thing that says that they can turn around and sign your check for you, you know. They can appropriate for you. And He has given you the right to use His name. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, but henceforth, from now on, whatsoever you ask in my name, God has given us the power of attorney to use the name of the living God. Now, frankly, honey, I don't know. Some people talk and act like God's given them a rubber check. I've never seen one with His name on it, appropriated and cashed in, that has ever failed yet. Oh, but Brother Bunch, don't tell me. Now, listen, if you don't endorse it, that's another thing. I remember a few years ago, there was two spinsters in New York that died of starvation. And when they begin to check, they found thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars sewed in the lining of coat after coat after coat. And they wouldn't take a thing out. They didn't cash it in. But here is God's goods that is yours, signed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ upon Calvary, waiting for your signature to cash it in God's provision, in God's, His goods. He wants you to use what He has given you. He didn't expect you to do it with the fleshly man. If you're going to do it, it's going to be hay, wood, and stubble. One of the great mysteries of all of God's plan is the fact that if you did get it done, it's hay, wood, and stubble. But if He does it through you, it's gold and silver and precious stone. It is His goods. Glory be to God. You see, if you are going to use the things of the flesh, you're going to fail. The flesh cannot please God. Your reward will be hay, wood, and stubble. You will only be rewarded for using His goods. And He's going to call you for what you have done with His goods. His love? Let Him love through you. Have you ever met that person that every time you open your mouth, they put your foot in it? Or their foot in it? Huh? And I tell you, you know, and you come home and you say, Lord, help me love that person. And the next time you get around him, you know what happened? Same foot. And you just... Huh? You know what's wrong? You haven't put the right endorsement on. You've prayed wrong. How have you prayed wrong? Father, love that person through me. It is His love that so loved the world. God says, love the unlovable. But you, the fleshly man, the love of the fleshly realm, hasn't the ability to love the unlovable. But if you will appropriate His good, He can love through you. Because there isn't anything God asks you to do that you can't do, but you got to do it God's way. Now, we're talking, and we've talked about the glory realm. But I'm interested in taking God's children and letting them be qualified. I want you to be ready. I want you to be chosen. I want you to be separated, called, faithful. I want you to be a candidate for God. What God wants you to be. And so, here he's likened a king, a man, going into a far country, and he leaves Jesus Christ going into glory, and he leaves his saints behind, his servants behind, and he comes back later and he says, what have you done with my goods? He didn't say, what have you done with your talents? He didn't say, how big of a kingdom or how much prestige did you have in the church? He didn't say, how many suits do you have in the closet or how much is in your bank account? He says, what did you do with my goods? What did you do with that I left you? Well, let Him love through you. Let His healing power flow through you. Be a channel for God. Now, you see, all of this is contingent upon getting that channel free so that it can flow through you. And so it involves deliverance. And it involves a letting it flow. God didn't mean for you to be a storehouse. He meant for you to be a channel. Some people get all they can and can all they get. Their pantry's full, but they're never given anything out. But if you want God's blessing to flow through you, give it out so there's room. You can have a hose clear full, but if the nozzle's pinched off, there's no water going to the plants. You can have a windmill just to turn around and jump it and shout and all, but if it's not hooked up to the pump, it's not getting any water for the cats. And beloved, you can have many, many things that look so pretty, but if it is not His goods, it's going to be hay, wood, and stubble. And it's going to disqualify you, for all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. And when you're weighed in the balance, it will be hay, wood, and stubble. It will be filthy rags. There will be nothing, beloved, that will qualify you to be a priest that is going to be crowned. I want to run the race so that I finish the course. So that crown that is laid up for me, isn't that what Paul said? Henceforth there is a crown? Huh? Isn't that what we've been studying about? Praise the Lord. Zechariah. Like that. Went and got that gold and silver and made some crowns out of it. Hallelujah. Crowns inside the Holy of Holies, inside the temple, inside God's plan. All right. The consequence for not using his goods is great. Look at the 30th verse. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, that's hard, Brother Bunch. Well, not in the eyes of God. Because God has paid the extreme, extreme, supreme price in giving the only begotten Son to provide those tools that you can live a victorious life, that you can be a servant that will accomplish something, and so that in that day you will have not dry leaves, but sheaves to lay at his feet. You say it's hard, they that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. When he asks us to give an account, if he has given us 10, we will have the appropriate amount. If he has given us 5, we will have the appropriate amount. But this man that was cast into the outer darkness, it says that he took his and hid it in the ground. He did nothing with it. He did nothing with what? Not the provision that he had or his talents, but with that he left, his goods. He did nothing with it. And they took away that he had, and they cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth according to the word of God. And so this spells to me a great counsel from the word. If I'm going to do it, then let's do it God's way. If I'm going to do it, let's appropriate it and do it with that love that God has left. By this shall you know them, that they have love one for another. Let a husband be first partaker of the fruit, and the fruit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. Huh? If I'm going to do it, if I'm going to run the race, then let me run it lawfully and properly according to the statutes of the Word of God. And I can do that by using His goods and win the race and finish the course. I can obtain that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because God has no respecter of person. He's made the provision for every one of you that are here. There is nothing lacking. I don't care what it is. If He's only giving you one talent, one area of responsibility, then be that. Use that talent and that ability to all you can, and use His goods. If He is to whom much is given, much is required. And so He said to those that He had given more, He expected more. Don't compare yourself amongst yourself. Don't be defeated because you're not out preaching or you're not out doing this. Maybe you're not going to be a channel of great revelation. But beloved, you can be a prayer warrior. You may not have a great check to write, but you can sure give the widow's mite. You can make a total surrender unto Him, and you can do it God's way in all. That you are not your own, you're bought with a price. You belong to Him. You can be what God wants you to be. Amen? Glory be to God. Let's bow our heads for a moment, would you? His goods. His goods. Oh, Lord, let me walk not in my own strength, not in my own wisdom. Let me not wallow in my own self-righteousness, my own vainglory. But let me abide in Him and boldly say, and boldly proclaim, and boldly use His good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you're searching. You're searching yourself. The universal sign of surrender is the upraised hand. And I want you right now, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not separating you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to make that surrender to God. I want you to say, Father, I have not used your goods as I should. I haven't taken my place at Calvary and died out to self. But I want to now, Father, I want you to lead me day by day that I can use your goods. Would you just slip your hand up? God bless you. My hand's up. This is a desire of my heart, a burning hunger in my life that I may be what God wants me to be. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may just put them down right now. Now, isn't God good to us? Yeah. And don't you ever say you can't. Watch out what you say and what you do. And let God have the glory. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to wait upon you for the offering. Okay, we're going to receive an offering, and I want to quickly talk to you for a minute about a hiding place. All righty? My Father, my God, bless this offering. As we surrender and as we yield unto Thee, have Your way, Father. Overshadow all that's said and done. And let Thy name be glorified as we lift this offering unto Thee for Thy glory and Thy praise. Unto Thee, my Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But I want to talk about the woman that gives birth to the man-child for a minute. The Bible tells me that there is a time in the 12th chapter of Revelation. She is a woman there, clothed with the sun. Now, that's S-U-N. But that S-U-N means the Son of the Living God. For there is a place in Malachi that says, unto them that fear the Lord shall the S-U-N of righteousness appear with healing in His wings. And she has the moon under her feet. That means she's an overcomer, for she has the flesh under her feet. For we reflect the glory of God. We have no light in ourselves, but in Him is life, and the life is the light of men. Are you with me? All right. And so she has the flesh under her feet. The sun is the real light. The moon just reflects it. All righty? And this woman, the overcomer, gives birth to a man-child. And as soon as she gives birth to that man-child, she flees into the wilderness to a place prepared by God. A hiding place. Now, God is going to have these places all over the world. They are being prepared right now by the man-child still inside the woman. Now, I know that there have been those that have gone here and those that have gone there. I even know that Satan counterfeited it in the Jones incident. But you don't counterfeit a $6 bill. I heard about the fellow that made an $18 bill, and he didn't know how to pass it, so he went way off back. Now, I'm from Missouri, so don't think that I'm picking on, but he went way back in the Ozarks. Far back as he could go. Walked down the pathway and found a little old country store, and he went in and he said, can you cash this $18 bill? And the fellow said, I sure can. Boy, he thought it was. And he said, what do you want, 2 9s or 3 6s? You don't counterfeit a $6 bill, do you? There is God's hiding place. And God has men all over the world, not just in the United States, but all over the world preparing a hiding place, where the woman that gives birth to the man-child will be protected for a while. The typology of it is in Noah. What did Noah do? He put away a store in a hiding place at God's direction for a time when judgment fell upon the rest of the world. And as in the days of Noah, so shall the end time be. Elijah, a type of this very thing. He went into the wilderness first, and there was a provision given to him. The ravens came and the brook. But then he went to a widow, the woman, that had put away a store. And God bless that store. Now you say, is the store they're putting away going to be able to feed everybody? It will be sufficient as it is blessed by God, like the loaves and the fishes in the wilderness that fed the multitude, and like the woman's cruse of oil and the meal barrel that failed not. And there are those, regardless of the criticism, regardless of the false $6 bill of Jones's or anybody else, let me tell you something. Don't go into the wilderness until God takes you there, because you won't be going there until the man-child is born, and the man-child is the sign. And the Bible says if they say they're in the desert, don't go out. And they're over here, well, don't go. And so consequently, many have missed the scriptures, but there is the real thing. There is the real thing. All righty? There is a hiding place for the woman prepared by God. See, Brother Bunch, are you preparing? I certainly am. I don't plan to eat it. But I do plan to be obedient to God to provide it for those that will need it. Now, we could go in great length about this. This is one of those places in the lattice work that God has tugged to my heart and challenged me with. And when that man child goes to that throne room up into the Holy of Holies and comes back, Jesus came back to just the 12. He met with the 12. And beloved, Jesus is coming back to separate that woman into a hiding place as he rips with a storm and with everything else to tear up and uproot the seed of Satan in the holy place. The last thing Jesus did when he was on the throne was to make provision for the one that gave birth to him. And the man-child will have made provision for the woman that gave birth to him. Are you following what I'm saying? There is coming, the Word of God says, famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. The world has about 14 days. If every crop failed, the world would have 14 days of food, and that's all. And that's all. There's coming famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But God's going to have a place for that woman, a ship, a door that will be closed. Read Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And if you will notice, Mount Zion is cleansed by the spirit of washing. And Jerusalem is judged by the spirit of judging and the spirit of cleansing and washing. I should get the scripture out. God's going to change those that are the overcomers. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. If we will live what God wants us to be, if we will be what God wants us to be, if we will be honest and open and cleanse ourselves and be honest in these things appropriately, appropriately. There's a place where the wicked one touches us not. There's a place where we can abide in him. All right? And then the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shall be for a defense upon all of the assemblies. What is the glory? It's that man-child. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it? It is a people that are turned right side out. Yeah. That's what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw through the outer court the flesh. That veil of the outer court was open. They saw through the soul, the holy place, and that was opened. And they saw right into the Holy of Holies, and they saw the glory, brighter than the noonday sun. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the glory of the Lord shall be for a defense upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. There will be a cloud by day and a fire by night that will protect that place. As God purges the holy place, he takes that woman and hides her.
Thank you, Jesus. All right? And God is providing those places. I know of quite a few. They're being prepared. They're being prepared. How are you going to make it? Be a part of His goods. How are you going to make it? Pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How are you going to make it? Not by being something great, but by being what God wants you to be, and the Beatitudes. Freedom. If you hadn't gotten, if you weren't here to hear Lee's message on that, you get the tape. If you don't take anything else home, you take that tape home. All right? Well, I love you. Somebody asked me to talk about that tonight. That's what I went ahead and brought that out. Use His goods. Oh, there's so much more that could be said about it. I haven't even touched the little fringes of it. Okay? But I've given you enough to begin to look and to seek. All right? God bless. Are we going to take a break now, Brother Glenn?
I never saw that like that before. You know, I never thought of it. His salvation, His healing, His Holy Spirit, His deliverance. I never heard it like that before, Brother David. And I see a different His faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, if we can get a hold of that, we've got a different concept of what God can do through us. Because He's doing it. Yeah, His goods.
Brother Glenn, that's why He said in Corinthians, no flesh will glory in My presence. Because if it's the flesh that's done it, it's hay, wood, and stubble. There's no glory to it. But let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And, you know, he's talking about a hiding place. He's talking about food and such as that. I'll make two little remarks and then we'll have some refreshments. I know a man who now lives in Phoenix, Arizona, Bill Pyatt. Some of you may know him or know of him, Bill Pyatt. And after the Cuban crisis, he lost everything he had. At that time, he was a millionaire. He was making his money supplying Castro with military equipment that he was buying surplus around the world and selling it to Castro. He had an airport in Cuba, and he had hangars down there. He was bringing in American planes and refurbishing them and restoring them for Castro. And he became a millionaire doing that. Then when the Cuban thing came, he suddenly was penniless. Money that was owed to him and everything, or that he owed and it was owed to him and all, he couldn't collect it, he couldn't pay. He was worse than bankrupt. He was penniless. And he ended up with some terrible problems, dying of ulcers and nerves and all of this, and God healed him one day at a full gospel meeting up in Northern California. Then he moved out to the Mojave Desert. He was living out there, and people had supplied him with a place to live, and he had food. I told about this before, but it fits in right here. And he had a deep freeze and an ice box and a cupboard. And everything was full. He had been supplied with food. God had supplied him with food. And he had turned to God with all of his heart and was really seeking God. And God was moving and doing things in his life and his family's. God laid on his heart that there was somebody out there in the desert down the road about a mile or so who didn't have anything. And he impressed him that they should fill two grocery baskets full of groceries and take it down there and give it to those people. And he said, well, Lord, you know this is all I've got. I don't know where anything else is coming, but I feel that that's you. So they loaded up two baskets and took them down to these people and gave them to them. The next morning when his wife got up and came in the kitchen to fix breakfast, she began to shout and call for Bill. Every single item that they had taken out of that house the night before was back in the exact spot they had taken it from. Every single item. In the refrigerator, in the deep freeze, and in the closet, in the cupboard. There wasn't one item missing that they had put in those baskets and taken down and given away. God gave it back. See, that's what Brother David's talking about. See, just as the meal never went dry, you take it out and God will put it back. But we have to have it there in the first place. If we don't have it there, God can't put it back. See, we have to have it there because God uses what we have to bless others. Then another thing, just we are on the verge of an absolute complete collapse of the monetary system. Now, you've heard this and heard it. Some of you think and you don't believe it and you think that might happen. But because of Irma and my background, we happen to have worked on a program for the government for that purpose. But we are on the verge of a complete collapse of the monetary system. It may not come for a month. It may not come for a year. It may not come until the middle of the 80s or the end of the 80s. I don't know. But I believe it will happen in this decade. And I believe it will happen shortly, myself. I'm not going into any details about it, anything. But it happened in Germany on the first Sunday of June in 1947. The monetary system in Germany completely collapsed. And it's going to happen again, only this time it will happen in a large area of the world. And in the United States and probably in Canada and other areas. But the monetary system will completely collapse. And I am believing God with others that we will have this piece of property completely clear with no indebtedness, and that we will build the building and God will supply the finances to do the building and we'll pay for it and it'll be clear when it's finished. I believe God. I'm believing God for that. And I want some of the rest of you to lay that burden on your heart also, that we will see that come to pass. That there will be no indebtedness, that will have be any problem that Satan can use against this place when that happens. Well, we're going to take a break. Boys, clear that table off real quick you're sitting on. Set it on everything on the floor. Pull it out here. Set the other two tables up. Now, we're going to have some grape juice and some coffee to drink at right now with some cookies and things. Be very careful with it. Don't let it get spilled on the floor, please. It will be very hard to clean that up out of the off of the rug. Water is one thing, but when you stain it with something like that, so be very careful with it. And we're going to dismiss you now and have a time of refreshment and fellowship together. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.